Good afternoon. The time, 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on WAMC for this Friday, July 17th, 2026. I'm Josh Landes. It's Healthy Eating. Joining us, nutrition counselor and culinary educator Holly Shelowitz. Do you have a question about how to eat healthy? Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. That's 1-800-348-2551. Or email the show at voxpop@wamc.org. That number again. Yes, you. 1-800-348-2551. Holly Shelowitz, your healthy eating questions coming up on Vox Pop with me, Josh Landes, right after the news. Folks, you're not going to want to miss this one. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Josh Landes. Today, healthy eating with an emphasis on dressings and dips. Two of my favorite. I guess if we're going to put something on something, it's got to be a dressing or a dip. I love them. Here to take your calls is the great Holly Shelowitz. Holly, a nutrition counselor, a culinary educator, also a menopause coach and an aromatherapist. Holly, what don't you do? Holly served as the Northeast Regional Nutrition Educator for Whole Foods Market, developed global healthy eating education programs, and is on the faculty of the Omega Institute. Holly, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Yep. Great.
All right,
now.
Let's go. Yeah. Listen, traffic. What are you going to do?
Wow.
We'll save. I don't think traffic, not for today's show.
Yeah.
If you want to call in to ask questions of the great Holly Shelowitz about dressings, dips, healthy eating writ large, you're going to want to call 1-800-348-2551. Once again, that's 1-800-348-2551. The email, voxpop@wamc.org. Holly, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. So many questions about healthy eating. I want to boast you for a minute. At the local burrito place, I no longer get chips with my burrito bowl.
Okay.
Is that healthy eating?
Yeah.
It's on the record. I'm healthy now.
Chips are all right. And what else? You know, burrito bowl is fine.
Okay, good.
There's like great stuff in a burrito bowl.
Now I can sleep easy.
Yeah.
Okay, so Holly, let's talk healthy eating right now. It's the height of summer, dressings and dips. You know, I think people think about salads. They think about sort of snacking on a hot day. Walk us through your dressings and dips universe.
Sounds great. So I find personally for myself and for my clients that when there's a delicious dressing or dip, we are going to eat more vegetables, all of us. So yes, there's many kinds of dressings that you can purchase in a bottle, and there are so many great things that you can do to make your own. I'm a huge fan of incorporating vegetables into your dressings. And so one of the things that I love to just direct people to do as you're creating your own dressing, yes, there are the basics, olive oil, something tart like vinegar, or my preference is lemon or lime. You can add a little mustard, a little salt, and you have a great dressing just in and of itself. You can really elaborate on that. You can add some fresh herbs. You can add some basil. You can really go wild and make or purchase some prepared pesto. Add that to some yogurt or non-dairy yogurt, and you have this delicious pesto dip.
I want to lean into that for a minute. I feel like this sort of like rise of Greek yogurt supplanting sour cream, like in this day and age, like a higher protein version of that nice creamy base.
Yeah.
What's your observation on that?
I have been observing the same, and I think that there's quite a continuum. There's a lot of people that actually can't eat dairy products for various reasons. And I want you all to know that there's lots of alternatives, and it's not necessarily only the non-dairy alternatives that are in your grocery stores and natural food stores. But if you use avocado as the base of a dressing, you can also use soaked raw cashews as the base of a dressing in a blender, and you can achieve that same creamy texture. But to what you were saying, I think that Greek yogurt tends to have a higher protein content, and then sour cream has a higher fat content. So it depends on which school you're in or which camp you're in. Do you want high protein, high fat? I'm a fan of both high protein and like some good quality fat. But it doesn't have to be one or the other.
I love that answer. There's a path in the middle.
There's a middle.
In our divided society, we so often are pushed between the sour creams and the Greek yogurts of the world. But Holly's telling us right down the middle.
Right down the middle. And think about, okay, here's the visual, okay? So let's say you're making your own dressing and you add to your blender an avocado, some cucumber, celery, little garlic, some olive oil, a little water to help it blend. And of course, you're going to need some salt. And then you want something tart, which could be raw apple cider vinegar. And it also could be lemon or lime. And so I'm giving you this recipe, non-recipe, because you see, I didn't give you any quantities. Because I really love to encourage creativity in the kitchen.
Well, it feels like with dressing and dips, more than ever, like trying it as you go. And I can understand you're making like a, you know, elaborate French meal. Maybe it's a little harder to dip your finger in and out. But like dressing and dips, it's sort of like happening right in front of you.
Exactly. And so like you have some sliced cucumber as your taster and you just use that as your guide. Another thing in a similar direction is you can start with some cashews, white raw cashews, not roasted because it adds a different flavor. The raw cashews really keep it neutral. If you soak them for about 20 minutes in some warm water, it makes them easier to blend. And of all of the nuts, it really becomes this very smooth, velvety texture when you add a little water to it. Just a little water. You have to start slow, blend, stop the blender, scrape the sides.
I'm going to jump in here because this is right in line with the cashew question. We have a pesto question coming in from Nancy, listener Nancy. I'm just going to press this button here. All right, Nancy, can you hear us?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. That's awesome.
Nancy, our pleasure.
I have garlic scapes.
Oh, great.
I was growing garlic for the very first time, and I was told that you can use the scapes to make a pesto.
Yes.
I've never made a pesto of any kind, so I'm wondering if you might share a recipe.
Excellent. Such a good question. First of all, garlic scapes are such a cool food. It's the top, for those who have no idea what we're talking about, it's the top of the garlic plant that's harvested now. And there are these like thick, curly, green, I wouldn't say a stalk, but it's like, it's pretty firm. And they are full on beautiful flavor of garlic. And they're also a little bit sweet, not like sugar sweet, but they have a little bit herb.
Yeah. Nancy, we're going to tune you out for a minute there just to make sure I get any feedback. But yes, okay. You were saying the nature of the scape, the
exactly,
scape of it all.
The scape. And so you can use that anywhere you would use garlic. They tend to be a little woody close to the bottom of the stalk, and you'll be able to tell that even when you're buying them at the farmer's market. They are really best used blended because they have quite a thick texture. You can make your own pesto with using garlic scapes and fresh basil, and then all the regular ingredients that you would normally make pesto with. I do make mine non-dairy, but many people will use Romano cheese. What else goes in there? A squeeze of lemon really helps bring out like the beautiful basil flavor, some salt, and then some nuts. You can use walnuts or you can use pine nuts. That's the traditional nut, but I'm going to say pesto can be anything. You can add arugula to it.
What about Brazil nuts?
You could use Brazil nuts.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. More, actually, you know, pine nuts tend to be a little costly as well. So,
right.
Yeah, and you don't need that many because Brazil nuts is, or it's like they're like a meal.
There's also that.
And you're getting, wait,
oh, sure.
If I may.
Yeah.
There's, Brazil nuts are also really high in selenium so that you're getting some extra vitamin boost, mineral boost. And there was something else I wanted to say about the pesto. Oh, yeah. So you can add parsley or arugula or even kale. If you have like a ton of greens right now, either in your garden or from your farm share or from the farmer's market, you don't have to only use basil in your pesto.
That's a great way to sort of sneak more veggies in.
It's a radical act.
That's very clever. Well, listen, we're getting radical here on Vox Pop today with the great Holly Shelowitz. We're going to take a quick underwriting break. Again, you're going to want to call into 1-800-348-2551. The great Holly Shelowitz talking dressings, dips, and healthy eating on Vox Pop. Welcome back to Vox Pop. Yes, it's WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm, of course, the preeminent Ray Graff impersonator, Josh Landes. We're joined again by the great Holly Shelowitz. Holly, it's so good to have you on. We were having a great conversation about pesto that I want to get back to. You want to talk to Holly? I want to talk to Holly. You got to call 1-800-348-2551. That's 1-800-348-2551 or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Holly, we were talking about garlic scapes. We were talking about pesto.
Yeah.
You know, there's that garlic scape experience of like going out into the woods of the Northeast and seeing this very seasonal, you know, thing happen and harnessing that into food. What is the relationship from your experience and your education about seasonal foods and, you know, working them into standard recipes like pesto?
That's great. Well, I really encourage eating seasonally and what do I mean by that? There was a time that we would, you know, in our culture, we would only eat seasonally because that's all we had. And living in the area that we live in, this is the time of the bounty of the season. So if you don't have your own garden or friends with a garden, there are farmers markets everywhere. And this is the time to take full advantage. And part of why I wanted to talk about this dressings and dips today is because this is the time where there's a lot of greens, right? There's all the salad greens. And now soon we'll be moving more into like the brassica and like kale and collards. And a lot of people don't know what to do with all those greens. And many people are part of a CSA. Many of my clients, one of the number one questions is like, what do I do? Like, what do I do with all these greens? And so what I want you to do is get bold in your salad dressing and dip making so that you're actually using some of those greens in your salad dressings and dips to use on the salad, and you will see you'll be eating so many more vegetables. And like, plants are filled with so many phytochemicals. All the colors of the plants that we are, and the veggies and fruits right now, all of those beautiful colors, from the berries to the greens to the squash to carrots, those have so many beneficial they are really so supportive in our bodies. And I also think it's really great to add some berries to your salad, which whenever I have served that in a cooking class, people are like, wait, what? So let's say you have this beautiful salad, and even if you're simply using one or two kinds of lettuce and you add some blueberries to it, and then you have a nice dressing, you get this little pop of something sweet. And let's say you also add some sunflower seeds or pumpkin seeds. You're adding fiber, you're adding more nutrition. The pumpkin seeds are really high in zinc, which is good for us all. And then you have a really dynamic salad. And I'm not necessarily saying like only eat veggies. I certainly feel that eating protein is very important, and that can be a very personal decision.
I want to talk about a very specific kind of seasonal salad that's right in line with our conversation, the watermelon feta salad. My beautiful wife, Allison, is a huge fan of this. It's one of her summer staples. Walk me through that. Like, what's a way that you could take, like, you know, the juiciness of the ripe melon, the saltiness of the feta? What's the perfect dressing to add to that?
Oh, that is such a nice combination for some people, and for others could be problematic. A perfect dressing can simply be a little olive oil, a little lemon, and some salt. It's also very nice to add some fresh basil to that combo. For some people, like, I always have to address, like, some people can't eat dairy, and so we would shift that around a little bit. But I think that's a really nice combo. And then I'm a fan of adding lots of fresh herbs to the salad. And so either whether it's that salad or any other kind of combination salad, to add some chopped cilantro or chopped basil or chopped parsley, oregano. The Mediterranean flavors and herbs like rosemary can be a little strong in a salad that is sweet like that one. But rosemary, let's say you want your salad to be a sustaining, filling meal. You can do that with adding some cooked quinoa to it, or some cooked rice for those who don't eat quinoa. But if you haven't tried quinoa, I really want to encourage you to try it. It's technically more of a seed. And so there's many people that aren't eating grains. And so let's say you combine a bunch of greens together, salad greens, you make some cooked quinoa, you add some protein in the form, it could be beans, chicken, fish, meat, turkey, shrimp even, and then some fresh herbs and a great dressing. And you have a really sustainably comforting and filling salad.
I love where we're going with this. I want to ask you about like the aromatics of it all. Because like something else with dressing and dips that you can take, like, you know, again, beloved standards of any sort. This is where you get to really get creative about, you know, how you're going to brighten the flavor or what things you want to affect it with. But also, like, you know, there's that smell of, like, you know, a fresh dressing or fresh dip that brings this whole other element to a meal. Talk to me about that. What's a way that people can healthily do that to their meals?
That's such a good question, Josh.
Thank you. I'm full of them, Holly.
I love zest. So everyone, I want you to have a zester. So what do I mean by that? So citrus zest, like especially lemon, lime, or orange, really add that brightness that you're asking me about. And of course, adding citrus juice to your dressing or to the salad really brightens flavor. But when you add the zest, it like takes it to the next level. And literally adds, that's how I would describe it. It just adds a brightness to it. And good quality olive oil, which doesn't have to break the bank. There's a lot of really wonderful groceries up here in our whole listening area that have good quality olive oil for great prices.
So I want to turn now to a staple of the summer experience. I want to get the Holly Shelowitz take on it, the healthy eating of it all. And again, to talk to Holly yourself, 1-800-348-2551. That's 1-800-348-2551 to get on Vox Pop here on WAMC. You know, grilling proteins, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's grilling protein season. Be you vegan, be you an omnivore, whatever you're eating, people are throwing it on the grill. Talk to me about the sort of healthy eating lens and, like, again, talk about a perfect canvas for dressings and dips. You know, you can take that in so many directions. When you envision like a great way to eat locally and sustainably and healthily in our beautiful Northeastern region with the grilled protein subset, talk to me. What do we got?
Mm-hmm. So similarly, my personal favorite lunch and even sometimes breakfast, but definitely my lunches and dinners that I'm preparing in advance for the day is always a bed of greens. And I think that eating arugula is a really healthy, it's a healthy veggie because those kind of bitter greens really support liver and gallbladder health and they really help with digestion. So you want some arugula, and I know it can be an acquired taste for some people. So then you also, you can add some mixed greens, some romaine for different super crunch. And then, like I was saying earlier, I love adding quinoa to a salad or some roasted vegetables. So if you're roasting vegetables or grilling them, especially zucchini, sweet potato, what are some other vegetables?
Oh, my gosh. Rutabaga.
Wow. Josh, go.
I just won a bet. I said I could say rutabaga on WAMC.
That's great.
So I've just pocketed.
Right on. Broccoli. Broccoli.
Broccoli is great.
Yeah.
Charred broccoli. Charred broccoli. It's one of those things when you.
Game changer.
You see it on paper and you're like, do I want burnt broccoli?
Exactly.
It is unbelievable.
Yes, you do want it.
Oh my God.
Exactly. So grilling vegetables, or when the temps come down a little, roasting a lot of veggies and then keeping them in your fridge and then adding them to your, I call them wellness bowls. So one of the things that I talk with clients about all the time is creating a wellness bowl. To your question is, let's say you'll have some grilled or roasted veggies. You'll have, let's say, some quinoa or chickpeas or other kinds of beans. You'll have some salad greens, and then you combine them in different quantities with your protein on top, whether it's tofu, fish, shrimp, chicken, turkey, beef. I recently made some bison burgers, which was very new for me.
That's a leaner kind of meat, right?
It is, okay. And I really liked it. I really liked it.
There's a former pitcher for the Mets, Noah Syndergaard, famously was like, I only eat bison.
Interesting, because it's high in protein and it's lower in fat. And like you said, it's leaner and it's kind of a cleaner taste. And I do enjoy some kinds of beef. So I think that's great. And then in that wellness bowl, you want a great dressing and a signature flavor. That's really good is you want to have like lemon or lime or orange in your dressing. And even if you make the simplest dressing with some olive oil, salt, that like citrus, a little maybe garlic or not, like that will really make your salad shine.
That's an excellent point, Holly. I want to turn now to, we alluded to the L word, if you will, lunch. I think in our culture, and if I'm wrong, please, Engineer Riley, jump in. I think, you know, breakfast gets billed very heavily, most important meal of the day. I think a controversial statement, but perhaps a popular concept. Dinner, obviously a lot of ritual around dinner. Is lunch getting lost in the shuffle? Are people underrating lunch?
Wow, great question. Good one.
This is why I'm paid an unbelievable amount of money. At WAMC.
Okay, so lunch, I hope lunch is not getting lost because it's a really, all of the meals are important. And I'll say each meal has a different function other than keeping us nourished and satisfied. What you're eating for lunch is absolutely going to impact the rest of your day. So while I'm a fan of all different kinds of foods, you might notice that if you're having a low energy dip right around 3 or 4 o'clock or even 2 o'clock, you want to check in to what you've eaten for breakfast and lunch. So it's really common if you're eating a high carbohydrate lunch, and I'm not against carbohydrates necessarily, but I want you to feel your best. So I want everyone to feel as vibrantly healthy as they can. And so for some people, having pizza or a sandwich or pasta or something along those lines can really put you to sleep within about a half an hour.
I generally have a full stack of pancakes, fully loaded. Could that contribute to my
lethargy? It very
well
might.
Okay.
Right. It might.
So that, and we so don't that, know, but it might.
It okay. most likely does. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I know you're jiving me. He's jiving us, y'all. So the lunch situation, check out your energy. If you are having massive sweet cravings and low energy dip, and then you need coffee, chocolate, sugar, soda after lunch, then we want to revisit what might be happening in those meals so that the food that you're eating is giving you energy and providing your body with the nutrition that it needs versus only the comfort.
Right. It's sort of the setting yourself up for success concept.
Exactly. So don't lose the lunch. And it's a very common question in my practice, like, wow, what do I eat for lunch? So some people just grab something. Like, you know, if you work from home, there's so many people that are working from home. So many people, forget to bring stuff to work, and then they have to go out and figure out what to eat, and then the lunch hour gets pushed because they're working, and that's really such a setup for some blood sugar challenges that during the day and then longer term, as well as increasing inflammation, all that stuff. So what we want is to be experimenting, like really experiment with including more veggies and protein, and yeah, maybe some carbohydrates, but like experiment with them, because many carbohydrates during the day can be like put you to sleep.
Well, yeah, there's that idea of like, you know, dysregulated eating can mean so many different things. But like, you know, so it sounds like you're saying like if you miss that benchmark to get a certain like, you know, healthy mix of energies inside of you, all of a sudden your day or week or longer could suddenly be thrown into a rear, so to speak.
It's true. It can really start to feel like a slog. If you find yourself looking at the clock and wondering, oh, my God, how many more hours are left to this day? We want to shift, again, what we're eating, how you're moving, how you're sleeping, all of the things.
Yeah. Folks, it's WAMC, it's Vox Pop. If you want to call in and ask Holly Shelowitz, who is a veritable fountain of nutritional facts here, 1-800-348-2551. Once again, that's 1-800-348-2551. We have the great Owen on the calls today, so you have to make it through the impenetrable wall of Owen to get on the show. Yes. Don't laugh, Owen. You're a force to be reckoned with. It's Vox Pop. So, Holly, we're about to head to our next break, but quickly, I want to ask you, like, right now, the biggest trend you're seeing in healthy eating right now, what's, like, this, like, conversation topic that you think is actually yielding results for people in the summer of 2026?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm thinking that it is that there are so many people who are getting blood work back with high A1C, which is blood sugar levels, high inflammation. It's really so much of what we're talking about. I think that there is absolutely a trend in a good way towards eating more protein. And I want to add to that, that we always want to have veggies with that protein as well. The trend in my world is seeing how you feel, noticing how you feel. Sometimes, like, we're moving through life so quickly that it's really easy to just kind of deal with things or tolerate low energy, rely on other things like caffeine and sugar. And there's a place for those, like, you know, some people are like, don't mess with my coffee and don't mess with sugar. I'm like, okay, we're going to start with protein and veggies. And also noticing how you sleep at night. If you're having trouble with sleep, then we also want to look at what stimulating foods or drinks are happening during the day. So I'm going to say it's about protein.
We love the protein question. All right, we've got a call coming in from Christine in Delmar. Delmar, a beautiful place. Christine has a question about chowder, I believe it's pronounced. Christine, welcome to Vox Pop. How are you today?
I am doing great, and thank you for this program. So informative.
Thank you for listening. We're happy to have you. Christine, what is your question for Holly about chowder?
Okay, well, every year I enter a chowder cook-off in Rhode Island, and every year I lose because I make greens and beans, because greens and beans are so delicious. I know they're not chowder, but I just wondered if you could give me some, like, yummy little tip to add. Help me win that contest. How would you make greens and
that
beans?
That is great. So are you wanting to keep your chowder vegetarian?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so people may not be used to a vegetarian chowder on the one hand, right? On another,
they're not.
Okay. So are you keeping the beans as they are? Or my suggestion, if you're entering a chowder contest and it's vegetarian, then I would blend those beans. I would thicken your soup. And then, let's see, so maybe have, like, white beans and a lot of flavor. some garlic, some lemon, of course, salt, and whatever other herbs and spices you're using. And then I would like add, if you're adding greens to it, you could like saute them and like, you know, maybe even do a burnt broccoli, like chop some burnt broccoli, not burnt all the way, but you know.
Yeah, charred. That sounds delicious.
And it's so good. Like if you make a veggie stock, white beans, blend, add the chopped broccoli also at the end, but I would also add some other texture, like some toasted sunflower seeds, toasted pumpkin seeds. Yeah, for some texture. You are competing against, you know, the shrimp, scallop, lobster, you know, kind of a tough, it's a tough contest, but you could do it. I feel like this might be a really nice, oh, I know. What if you like do some, like a quick flash fry of some whole sage leaves? Like just like throw them in a pan with a little olive oil, keep them whole, and then place them right at the top for that pop of flavor.
Listen, Christine.
Oh, this is really different. That's great tips. I really appreciate it. I think I'm going to at least win second place this year, maybe third.
Let us know.
All we ask is when you bring in your award-winning chowder that we get to try some, because that made me hungry.
Oh, yay. That's a deal. Thank you, John. Great. Thank you, Holly. Great program.
Goodbye, Christine. Okay, very quickly, we are going to head over to some underwriting. We'll be back in just a minute on Vox Pop. 1-800-348-2551. The great Holly Shelowitz taking your healthy eating questions. Listening to Vox Pop on WAMC, I'm Josh Landes. With me, Holly Shelowitz. Her website, nourishingwisdom.com. Once again, nourishingwisdom.com. And I would say that's exactly what we've been getting so far in today's show. Listen, the calls keep coming in, Holly. Let's move to Donna from Warwick. Donna, you are on Vox Pop. Good afternoon.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be on. You can hear me okay?
Absolutely. Coming through loud and clear.
Hey, Donna.
All right. I'm sorry I missed the chowder. I was on the phone with Owen trying to get past that wall while you were talking chowder.
You're in trouble.
You made it through,
sorry,
Donna.
I missed that. All right. Let me give you the quick rundown. I'm a very active person. I walk, I work out, I work like a slave around my house. And in January, I went to my cardiologist for my blood work, and my A1C came back at 6.0. Ah. His nurse contacted me and said, Donna, you know, this isn't right. You know, you're usually 5-point-something. You got to watch this. This is close to pre-diabetic. Well, I kind of freaked out. I went and I got, you know, all the literature I could find about the pre-diabetic diet, and I recipes, and I cleared out my shelves. I started drinking, and you know, I did a whole thing.
Awesome.
I transformed. So within about maybe six weeks, I started dropping a lot of weight. And
What's
134.
Donna? Say it again.
Okay. My normal weight in January when I had this test was like 144. That's what I weigh. And I'm 5'8" and I'm fit. So within about 5 or 6 weeks, I dropped to 124, 123.
20 pounds in 5 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
5 or 6 weeks. It's a lot. And I started seeing bones I hadn't seen ever, you know.
Donna, you should send me a message through my website, because I feel like we need to talk more personally than we are able to on the air.
Nourishingwisdom.com.
But I know you have a question.
The question is, now, you know, I saw my regular doctor, and I had, you know, my GP, and I had a test, and it came back. You know, I did lower my A1C in April to 5.8.
Okay.
And then just recently, it went up to 6.1.
Yeah.
Even though I've lost the weight and under. So the question is, how can I safely gain weight back? I have gained a little bit back, about 4 or 5 pounds. So I'm about 128, 129. How can I safely gain weight back without raising the A1C is it just that I need to eat more of the good stuff or what?
Okay, so I'm going to give you a short answer, which really, this is a much larger conversation. I need to know a lot more about you. I need to know what you were eating, what you changed your diet to. That's a lot of weight to lose in a short period of time. I'd want to understand more about that. I couldn't possibly tell you what to eat to gain weight back and manage your A1C levels without really knowing the answers to all of those questions, which I'd be happy to help you with. One thing I can say is, well, and I guess in knowing more about your body and clearly your body really responded to whatever you just changed. And so those are the questions that I would need answers to. And obviously we can't do all of that here. So, let me just take a breath and because I want
Holly's
going to
go into her nourishing wisdom. The core inside of Holly is a sort of cave of solitude where she can draw on.
She's going to contact her spirit guides.
Yes. The nutrition spirit guides.
Just to be basic, I was following the diabetes plate method, non-starchy vegetables, half a plate, a quarter plate lean protein, and,
Donna. Tell you what, Donna, Holly is working on the A1C levels question. Let's let her meditate for a minute. And again, nourishingwisdom.com. Holly has all the time in the world to get back to you about that. So stay tuned, Donna. We'll let Holly consider that. Thank you for your call, Donna. We really appreciate it.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'll be online. Thank you, Holly. Thank you very much.
Donna. Bye for now.
Okay,
so we're going to put a pin in that, Holly. Let's turn to another question. We turn to the Nutmeg State. Yes, I speak of Connecticut. Ever heard of it?
Yes, I have.
Very cool. Chris is on from Branford, Connecticut. Chris has a question about level of meal consumption during the day and how blood sugar is impacted by that. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Josh, and hello, Holly. Thank you both very much.
Hi, Chris.
As I get older, I don't really feel like I need three meals a day, so I'll have a breakfast and lunch. But with my blood sugar problem, I still have pasta and bread, and I can't get away from it, really. You hear stuff about if you make pasta, it's better for you the next day. Same thing with potatoes, same thing with rice.
The resistant starch.
Is there any validity to that, or is it just more, hokum from the internet?
Well, okay, let's back up and say you said something about a blood sugar problem, and based on the questions you're asking, I'm assuming that you have either diabetes or prediabetes or high blood sugar?
Yeah,
okay.
Type 2. Yep.
Okay, yeah. It's so common as we age, and I hear that you're eating just breakfast and lunch, which means that you're going a lot of hours between lunch and the next day's breakfast, I know for some people they have said that they say that intermittent fasting really works well for them. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
As a professional, I am not a fan of it. I think, except for a window of eating dinner earlier. I know you're not eating dinner, but to just back up my statement about intermittent fasting, I think that it is really important to, when you're eating dinner, that we eat earlier, which I know is very difficult to do, so that you sleep better and that when you're sleeping, you're resting and not having to be digesting your dinner. So that said, again, each of our bodies are unique and each of our needs are unique. I'm not sure if only eating two meals is fully supporting your blood sugar situation like the one that you called, the way you called it.
Right.
And so when you're asking the question, so to everyone who hasn't heard this, there is a conversation out there about when you refrigerate, cook and refrigerate potatoes and cook and refrigerate. I haven't heard the pasta part. I've heard it around potatoes, that when you refrigerate them, it firms up the potato and something called resistant starch is formed. And when you eat it, and it doesn't mean that you have to eat a cold potato, because what, that sounds so unappealing. So you can, like, yeah, after refrigerating it, then you cook it in whatever way you want to, not frying it. And then you eat it. It provides more fiber for the body, which prevents the glucose levels from going higher. This is what people are saying. I have not seen data on that, so it's not something that I'm teaching and telling clients about, but people do ask me this all the time. And the answer is going to be in how you're feeling and what your blood work is. And so I think that it's really important for the meals that you're eating good quality protein and healthy fats and fiber. And here's where it gets a little tricky with blood sugar issues, is that the foods that are often high fiber are also high carbohydrate. And those are the foods that can really elevate blood sugar levels. So it's a bit of a pickle. And so making sure that you're moving and exercising and that the foods that you are eating are supporting your blood sugar, even if it's something that, let's say, the American Diabetes Association is saying that we should eat, it may not be right for your body, right? And so the other thing I'll say as we close on this is that sugar and sweeteners and fillers and things that elevate blood sugar levels can sneak in to so many different foods. And when you're buying prepared foods, it's one thing to look at the grams of sugar on the back of the package, but you really want to look at the ingredients list and get to know that before you're even getting to know, oh, how many grams of carbohydrates are in this, or how many grams of sugar. You know, even innocent ketchup has, like, very high sugar content, or corn syrup, which is actually a little worse. And so, yeah, that's the most I could say about this, but I hope that the foods that you're eating for breakfast and lunch, and everybody, this doesn't have to be a big, massive meal. You can eat small meals so that you're, and what that does is it keeps your blood sugar levels balanced without going high or super low. Like, I'm thinking that between your lunch and breakfast the next day, your blood sugar is probably going bonkers.
Chris, we thank you so much for your call. Holly gave us a really good rundown. I hope you can use that to your advantage, sir. Thank you for calling. All right, we have time for, I believe, one more call, and we turn to the Bay State. Yes, the finest commonwealth in the nation, Massachusetts. Julia from Wendell, Massachusetts. Julia was calling about proteins and vegetables. Julia, you're on with Holly Shalowitz here on Vox Pop. What is your question?
Well, hello. Thank you for taking my call. You made a comment about 10 minutes ago about always eating veggies with protein, and I was just curious why you said that. What does that actually mean? I mean, do you always eat veggies with protein? Is it bad to eat just protein and no veggies?
Thanks for your question.
Thank you, Julia.
Sure.
Is it bad? No. Is it great to eat veggies with protein? Yes, for all the reasons that you're probably already aware of. All of those colors are bringing nutrition into the body. Protein is really stabilizing and balancing. It helps our brain health, it helps blood sugar, it helps us to feel awake. And the veggies are also providing a different form of nutrition, vitamins, minerals, fiber, phytonutrients that we don't even maybe know the full breadth of how nourishing they are for us. And it helps to balance out that the intensity of protein. So yeah, I do feel that it's important to eat your veggies with the protein.
Okay. Any follow-ups Julia? Well, any more questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Julia.
I'm just curious. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Amazing. All right. So I want to sort of do a little, pardon? Yeah. So getting in touch with Holly does not simply require Vox Pop. Holly, what are ways that listeners with questions can reach out to you with other questions about nutrition, about eating healthily? Walk
Great.
Us through that.
Okay. So I have a brand spanking new, very beautiful website that I'm very excited about.
I was gazing at it moments ago. It's entrancing, Holly.
So when you check out the website, there's lots of resources and recipes. And when you join the email newsletter, if you'd like, that you'll receive recipes and info as my thank you. And then I'm also on Instagram at Nourishing Wisdom Official, and on Facebook at with my name, Holly Shelowitz. And those are the best ways to reach me, is through the website and social. And I'll post some of the recipes and things that I've been talking about today over the next day or so.
So we've just in the last like minute or so here, mm-hmm. I want to ask you, it sounds like blood sugar is something on the minds of people out there. We're hearing a lot about that.
It really is.
If you have any sort of like parting words on that, it sounds like people want to know more about how to handle that.
Yeah. Be a food detective. But of course, food is such a pleasurable thing, right? Hopefully you're enjoying what you're eating. And food can be such a loaded issue that there's like, when we're talking about self-care and pleasure, it could be like, I want that ice cream because it makes me feel good. and I know that that's really common. And I think that we want to just have awareness about all the different ways that sugar and all the different kinds of sweeteners are in various things that you might not be aware of. Like, I have a friend who has been on a cleansing protocol recently, and she, after a few weeks of eating like super clean, really beautiful whole foods, protein, all the things, she ate some granola, which sounds like that is such a healthy food, right? It's like full of fiber and
sugar gets
nuts.
You.
But there's lots of different sweeteners in there. And, you know, oats are awesome and can also be elevating blood sugar.
It sounds like you're saying keep your eyes open, even in something that seems quite, you know, anodyne. There's something lurking. Okay, Holly, we're just about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in. Sorry if we didn't get to your call today. Don't worry, you'll have a chance later. Holly Shelowitz, thank you so much.
Thank you so much,
A quick
Josh.
Word to our supporters of Vox Pop, Pioneer Valley Food Tours. There you go. Northampton, Massachusetts, offering walking and bicycle food tours that explore local food and beverages in Western Massachusetts and Brattleboro, Vermont. PioneerValleyFoodTours.com. And Proctor's and Northshire Bookstore hosting an evening with author Colson Whitehead at 8 p.m. July 23rd. Signed copy of Cool Machine available with ticket at uph.org. Once again, a huge thank you to Holly Shelowitz. Thank you, thank you. NourishingWisdom.com. On the ones and twos, our engineer, Mr. Riley Phillips. Your calls were answered by Owen, who we love. Monday on Vox Pop, bariatric surgery with Aaron Shell Levine. I'm Josh Landes. Stay tuned now for The Media Project.